Right. Firstly, Sheikh David, for organising this, the Khatan Bracious, like all year long, being the one starting everything off. So, big Sheikh. I was saying that, firstly, I'm going to admit to try to buy some of these for next week. If anyone wants, we'll put a poll up on the group on Sunday or something. And from next week, we'll admit to try to do text based and do a few pages every week, because you'll see once you start reading inside that everything's there, and whatever the magic of the Sefer, the magic of Shabbat Bitachon is that whatever someone is going through at any time, any page that you read will help you. Why? Because Shabbat Bitachon is not, it's not a tool for how to deal with particular circumstances. It's a tool for how to deal with life in general, with your relationship with Hashem and with life in general. I heard an example that before learning Shabbat Bitachon, a person is like a thermometer. And Shabbat Bitachon turns you into a thermostat. What does that mean? That a thermometer, any situation that you put it into, it tells you what the room, what the temperature of the room is. You put it into a hot situation and it tells you it's hot. You put it into a cold situation and it tells you it's cold. A thermostat changes, you tell it what you want the room to be, and then the room always stays at that temperature. If the room goes too hot, then the thermostat helps to change it. So Shabbat Bitachon is really a guide for how to be that thermostat, that no matter what situation comes your way, no matter what you find yourself in or where you find yourself, you will always be able to feel calm and at ease and at peace. And we're going to see that there's many very logical reasons as to why a person should try tapping into this, as well as we also told it in the Torah in many places. The whole of the Avodah of our lives is really to try and connect with Hashem in like the best possible way and to feel and see Hashem everywhere. We know that the whole Judaism is built up on the 13 Ikrim, on the 13 Animamim, which are in the back of the Siddur, which say that I believe Emunah Shleima, that Hashem made the world, that he doesn't have a body, that he gave us a Torah, that there's only one Torah. But with all the beliefs that we have, with all these 13, even if you believe them fully, which is what we say. We don't say that we believe them. We say animamin b'emunah shleima. Even when we believe them fully, we still somehow find ourselves in many situations where we think that Hashem must be really far away, because we don't understand how to translate the belief from a knowledge, something that I know in my head, into something that I actually feel. So when I feel that Hashem made the world, then I feel that Hashem is everywhere around me. Whether I'm looking at my enemy or my friend doesn't make a difference. I don't feel scared because I am wrapped around in, because I'm wrapped around in Hashem. Whilst when I only know this, good evening. Whilst when I only know that Hashem runs the world, then I can get myself into many situations where suddenly I feel like Hashem is not present. There's a marshal that I thought of with the hostages when they were giving back hostages. So there was always, as in, usually the way that the negotiations work is that they have, like our hostages on their side, there's a bunch of terrorists standing next to our innocent hostages. We are on the other, like, we are opposite them with their terrorists that we're about to give back. And there's like an imaginary line, in front of us. And we each know that we want back something from the other side, but neither side wants to step forward first. Why not? Because if we know that if we give the 5 terrorists that we arrested for trying to murder people, if we give them back first, then they will now have 10 terrorists on that side of the line, plus our hostages, and they could just make a runner. So there's a lack of trust that we have. We trusted them enough to come to the line, which is why we're both standing opposite, but we don't really feel the trust. They had said to us via the Red Cross, via Trump, via whoever it was, that they're going to turn up, so we trust them, so we turned up. However, we want them to go first, and they want us to go first. Now, in a certain sense, we all do that often in our lives with Hashem. There's things that we know that Hashem wants from us. This week's parasha, if you follow my ways, if you learn Torah, if you daven, we know that there's loads and loads and loads of things that Hashem wants from us. So we are standing there at this imaginary line, which, as we're going to see soon, is a line that is only in our heads, not in Hashem's head. Hashem doesn't have anything separating us. From him. We could be the best people in the world or the worst people in the world, and he still loves us and he will still care for us. However, we are standing there in like an imaginary sort of negotiation whereby we know all the things Hashem wants from us, we know what Elsa wants from us, and we know what we want from Hashem. We say to Hashem, listen, I would love to learn. I would love to stay in Shacharis till the end. I would love to even turn up to Shacharis. I would love to be able to do this. I would love to be able to do that. There's all these things that I would love to be able to do. However, you go first. First, you sort me out. You want me to come to shul? So first you sort me out, all my parnasa. Sort me out with easy kids. Sort me out with easy life. When you've given that, then I'll be able to start coming to shul. Then I'll be able to tell Hashem first that you first give and once you've given, that's when I'll be able to hand over my goods. But the problem is not that Hashem doesn't trust us, and not that we don't trust Hashem. The issue is that Hashem's world and our world are two completely different worlds. Hashem put us into a very dark world, into a world where, as the Tanya says, Hashem is totally hidden. And in this world, things do seem dark and tough. However, in this world, even though Hashem is hidden, it means that Hashem is still there. Which means that if you find Hashem in this world, if you experience Hashem and you feel Hashem in this world, then suddenly you're not living in that dark world. You're living in His world, as if to say that you're kind of living on the other side of the line. And there's different ways and different advantages to living in His world. Because when you're in His world, nothing in His world is where you see how everything is for the good. Even if you don't see it, but you see it, you feel it, you internalize it, and everything is for the good. So it doesn't matter what happens to you, it's the first thought that goes into your head, like with a thermostat, is, okay, this is good. How? Very often when you're in the situation, it doesn't look good, but you will be able to find that afterwards. Very often, you won't find out till the next world. However, the more we learn the different tools of how to get to Bitachon, the more we learn about how Hashem works and how much He loves us and the seven reasons as to why by definition He is the only being that we should trust, and the more that we're going to learn as we get through will give us much more insight to be able to actually feel that everything is good. We have in the Gemara many stories, and the two most famous ones are of Menachem Ish Gamzu, who used to always say Gamzu. He used to always say Gamzu L'Tova. That any situation that he was in, he would say Gamzu L'Tova, and he was going to the king to bribe the king on behalf of the whole Jewish city. I don't remember exactly the details as to why they had to bribe, but he had to go bribe the king. He stopped off in an inn overnight, and the innkeeper switched out all the jewelry and diamonds and gold that he had, switched it all out for mud. And Menachem Ish Gamzu has no idea, and he takes it into the king's palace, and he says to the king, he said, I've got something from all the Jewish people, we've come to say sorry for whatever it was, whatever. And the king opens it, and there's mud there. And Nachum Ish Gamzu said confidently, Gamzu L'Tova. Not because he knew that thing, he was looking at the same mud as everyone else there in the room was, and everyone in the room knew, right then and there, that the king is going to kill this guy and go kill all the Jews. But Nachum Ish Gamzu had lived his whole life realizing that Hashem is in every moment. So if Hashem sent him to that inn so that he should... And Hashem made that innkeeper steal it, and Hashem made him come here, and Hashem made it mud, and Hashem made him open it, just like this, then this is for the good. And the truth is that the story could have stopped there, because for someone to be able to be in that situation and say this is for the good is already an unbelievable level. However, obviously, the reason why Hashem put him into that level is that he could teach us how it works after that. Once you've got to that level where you're able to say, Gamzu L'Tova, what happened? So the Gemara carries on that Eliyahu HaNavi came in the form of one of the king's guards, that he was dressed like one of the king's guards, and he says to the king, I just read that by Avraham Avinu, then he picked up mud, he threw it, and it turned into arrows. So maybe this mud turned into arrows. So the king said, maybe. He took some of the mud and he gave it to one of his guards, and he went outside to throw it, and it turned into arrows. Now, because we know the ending of the story, we don't feel any, like, okay, so he opened up it and it was mud, and it was very nice. But when you zoom into that actual moment where he's there, he's traveled for... I mean, if he had to stay at like an inn overnight, then he had been traveling for at least 1.5 days, probably much, much longer. And he's been traveling and he realizes that he's come on behalf of his whole community. They've all given all their gold and all their silver and all their diamonds and all their everything. They've given everything to him. And he now has just turned up to the king with mud, which is an automatic death sentence. You give a king mud. However, because he was... known as Nachum Ish Gamzu, which is why they had sent him in the first place, because, as in, it wasn't this story that revealed that he was Nachum Ish Gamzu. This story was This was a story that came after years and years and years of him working himself as the guy who always said Gamzula Tova. But when you zoom into that moment, to our logical brains, it seems completely crazy. How can you be there in front of this pile of mud and say that this is also for the good? The answer is that he knew that Hashem is involved in everything. He didn't just believe that Hashem made the world and then let it be. And he didn't believe that Hashem made the world and was involved in 99% of the things that were involved in a story, but there was 1%.
So what made him even bring jewels in the first place?
Because that's something that we are going to see later on, that there is hishtadlut that needs to be done. There is a certain level, because we're not allowed to rely on miracles. Okay. Now, the balance between relying on miracles and living in this world is very interesting, because when you're living in Hashem's world, you realize everything's a miracle. Meaning, when you're living in Hashem's world, the fact that I'm breathing now, that you're breathing, is no more or less of a miracle than the fact that this table is on fire and is standing. When you're on the level of bitachon, like Avraham Avinu, then you could stand in front of a fire, and you could say, "I'm going to walk into it, no problem." Not because Avraham Avinu probably did actually know, as in he actually knew that it wasn't going to burn him. But the idea of bitachon is that you get to a stage where you don't even care what the repercussions of your actions are, meaning that you step into a fire not because you believe that you're going to be saved. Avraham Avinu stepped into a fire because it was the right thing to do, and it was God's will. And whether the fire burns him or doesn't burn him, he knew was also God's will. So if he gets burnt, then fine, that was also God's will. And if he doesn't get burnt, and we obviously know that Avraham Avinu managed to come out of the fire, he was unharmed. And the reason for that is because to him, the fact that fire normally burns something, he even saw that. He was looking at the fire and he knew that God was in the fire, that God is the fire, God is everything in the world. And that's a really high level. And he went through more tests after that. The final one being having to offer up his son on the Akedah. And the Lubavitch Rebbe points out that on the morning of the Akedah, it says in the Pasuk, Vayashkem Avram Ba'boker, that Avram Avinu woke up early in the morning. Now, the Lubavitch Rebbe points out, he says, you know, that all the Mefarshim talk about the fact that Avram Avinu went himself and got his donkey ready and etc. And the Lubavitch Rebbe said that the Torah never lies. So if the Torah says that he woke up, it means that he fell asleep. He said, when we have a little test in the morning, a tiny little driver's test, something small, we're tossing and turning, we're nervous, how's it going to go? I've got a doctor appointment, how's it going to go? Avraham Avinu knew the next day that everything that Hashem had told him that you're going to have generations of Yidden and thing, and he knows that the one son that he has, who he had at 99, is going to go bye-byes, and that's it. And he slept. He said that, Vayashkem Avraham Ba'boker.
It's not there, Vayakum Avraham
Ba'boker. Yeah. Vayashkem.
He did an effort to do it earlier. He was eager to go.
Right. But it also means that he fell asleep, okay. Meaning as in, well, but anyway, that was a...
You have to fall asleep, yeah, you're going to have to get peace of mind.
Yeah, so, like, as we're going to see, there's going to be many, many, many situations, and, you know, we all, the cars that we drive, let's say, like anywhere that you go on the highway, on the road, you will always notice your same model over and over and over again, everywhere you look. And every time you buy a new car, then within a day or two of driving it, you suddenly see that car everywhere. Not because more cars have popped up, but because when there's an awareness of something, then your brain is able to zoom in and focus. So there's really two ways of how to take how a person can build up their bitachon. There's either by learning about more situations, which you have to do by actually experiencing them, and you go through situations and you think, I should have done that. I shouldn't have got angry with this guy because he was just a shliach. It wasn't really him. It was a message coming from Hashem. And you can break down things afterwards, and then next time that you're in such a situation. But as we're going to see, and it took me like 2 years so far of learning through just this actual sefer, and I still haven't made it to the end because there's so much in it, and it really is lifelong work to try to take all the stuff that we have in our knowledge and to internalize it properly. I heard a mashal from Reb Shai Staub. He says that when you ask someone what they want to eat, you like give a guy a choice. Would you like sushi or pizza? So the guy says, wait a minute, let me think about it. And then a minute later, he gives his answer. He said, what's going on in that 1 minute? The guy knows what sushi is. He's had sushi lots of times. He knows what pizza is. He's had pizza lots of times. So when someone asks me a question, I should be able to just give either pizza or sushi. Why does it take 1 minute? Because I'm trying to feel how each of these foods are going to sit by me. Pizza, sushi. And you're like kind of contemplating the feeling. He said, that feeling, that is the job of what we're going to be learning here, to take the knowledge that we have, the emunah, that Hashem exists and that He created us and everything, and that He's involved in the world, and to actually internalize it into every moment of our lives. And the more a person does it, the more you want to do it, and then the more you want to do it, the more you automatically do it, and then the more you want to daven and the more you want to learn, because the more bitachon that you have in a situation, the more you are literally living in Hashem's world, where all the realities are different, where you can have another example from the Gemara. Another famous story was with Rabbi Akiva, that he went into a town to see if he could find somewhere to sleep, and he tried half the town and no one would let him sleep over. And Rabbi Akiva's line was similar to the line of Rachmish Gamz of Gamz Tova, but he used to say, "Kol man David Rachmana le tav Ovid." Everything that Hashem does is for the good. And he goes into the middle of the forest somewhere, and he has with him a candle, a chicken, and a donkey. And after a few minutes, a gust of wind comes and his candle goes out. And he says, "Kol man David Rachmana le tav Ovid." And as the story gets progressively worse, he then loses a chicken, like an animal comes and takes a chicken, then another animal comes and takes a donkey, and you've got just Rabbi Akiva left there, in the middle of the forest, without bed, without anything, and the three items that he did have with him have all been taken from him. Now, again, in this story, when he was saying each of these stages, after stage one, when he didn't find anywhere to sleep, he said, "Okay, fine, I'll go to the forest." Then his candle went, "Okay, fine." And then his chicken went, and then his donkey went, and he said, "Okay, fine." And again, the story could have ended there, and we would have already learned loads about Rabbi Akiva. However, the Gemara carries on that the next day it was revealed that the entire town had been wiped out, and had his candle been on, then he would have been seen, and had his chicken crowed, then he would have been heard, and had his donkey neighed, and he would have been heard. Meaning that all those things that had happened to him that he said were good were actually good. Now, then the question is, did he make them good by saying that, or were those things going to happen anyway? So the truth is that we don't ever know the answer, but the way that we're meant to do the avodah bitachon is that it wasn't that he made them good. These things were going to happen anyway, because we believe that Hashem, we say in Ashrei Tov Hashem Lakol V'Rachmam Al Kol Ma'asov. It's a fact from David HaMelech. It's not he's good to some of them. Hashem is good to everyone. And we believe that Hashem had put him there to save him. However, from his angle, even had he been killed, just in a different place, or had there been one thing to give away where he was, and then he would have been killed, then to him it really didn't matter. Because someone who's living on that sort of level, Kol Man David Rachman L'Tav Ovid, he means Kol Man David, anything that he does, even if I get killed, even if I get hurt, even if I get damaged, it doesn't matter. And it's a crazy thing to think about, but we are all sitting here in Israel, and we all kind of do this, have done this in a certain sense in our own lives. How? When you tell any goy or any person any goy outside of Israel, that, like, when I tell them that I moved to Israel during a war, it doesn't make any sense. And when they know that there's people from all around the world that move here every single year, it doesn't make any sense. How could you move to a place where all this happened? The answer is that whatever happens here, because of the history, because of everything that's happened, we see everything that's happening here as good. Every single stage, even the seventh, which was one of the most difficult days in history, we are still seeing some of the good that has happened because of it. Firstly, in the amount of Yidden keeping more Torah and more mitzvahs now because of it, as well as the fact that our biggest enemies, Iran, according to Elon, only a few days away from disappearing forever and ever. Huh? Yeah. And even the Holocaust, at the time of the Holocaust. Now, again, we're not going to be going through why big world things happen, because this is not here to give us insights. Like anyone who, something like that, will affect their belief in God needs to work on their belief in God. This is not about a belief or a non-belief in God. This is about taking a belief that's there, that we have, that we've worked on, and like I say, the fact that we're all sitting here in Eretz Yisrael means that we all have it inside of us, and every single Jew, and Anachnu Ma'aminim, B'nai Ma'aminim. We all have the belief system, and this is going to help us to live it in every single moment, that whenever you're in traffic, suddenly traffic turns into something that's like a frustration. Oh, why is this happening to me? And you realize, with Bitochen, nothing's happening to you, it's happening for you. We might not understand it. Maybe Hashem just wants to test your patience. Maybe that's all he wants from you. Meaning, it's not that it's not even about you getting to your destination. He just wants to test your patience. And there's many, many, many times. And we see that there's a very, very, very lot of people who they only step over this line, this hostage line that we discussed at the beginning. They only actually step over to it when push really comes to shove. When they're in the worst of the worst of the worst place, when they're right at the bottom of the deepest ditch, that's when they actually feel Hashem, and that's often what sparks the bitachon in a person. But this sefer, the Chovos HaLevavos, which is the duties of the heart, so this is the fourth section in the duties of the heart, but this is like the most popular one amongst everyone, as in, like, there's not many sforim or reviews written on the other section. This was always like the main one, and this was written over 1,000 years ago, and there's not a single page in it, there's not a single word in it that is not as relevant now as it was back then. I'll just say one final piece, that we know that when a person is choosing a doctor for a big surgery, they can spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours searching for the perfect doctor, the right one. Yet, when we're looking for flights to go to, I don't know, anywhere else, you go onto Skyscanner or whichever website you use, and you do cheapest tickets, and you look for the cheapest tickets, and you're putting your hands into, you're putting your life into the hands of a pilot who you've not checked his credentials, you've not done anything. What's the difference? A pilot is on the journey with you. And therefore, you know that the pilot, when it hits turbulence, he's going to handle it because he also has what to lose if he doesn't handle it well. So there's a certain element of trust when the pilot's on the journey with you. Well, it's a doctor. If he messes up, it might look bad on his papers, but no, it doesn't. He's not so bothered. I mean, first of all, the doctors do take their jobs very, very seriously. But that's why someone like, you know, you won't just take like a random doctor, and part of the experience is that with all the turbulence that we experience in this life, we need to realize firstly that we're sitting in first class. We're here in Israel, and in first class, that's where they get all their drinks, and they get the same drinks as cattle class, but they get it in like a nice cup, with, you know, with like an olive on. But also that the pilot obviously is a reference to Hashem, that Hashem, one of the things that we have to always try to remember at all parts of the journey, at all parts of life, is that Hashem, who's a pilot, is in it with the same level of devotion as we have, meaning that he wants us to succeed and us to do well, or in fact, as we're going to see, more than we want it. And we shouldn't look at him like a doctor when he is helping us, is helping us as an external thing, where he has nothing to do. Hashem is really there with us, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zeicha to finish this. I don't know when, but we should be zeicha to start it properly inside. And this is hopefully the only bit that I'm doing all the talking, or most of the talking. In future weeks, I think it's like a chabura style, where there should be input, because it's not about turning the pages, it's about internalizing a message. So with a bunch of people around the table, everyone will have different ways of how they see things, and together that gives everyone else tools that they didn't have earlier. Sure.